Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected.
This morning, we're going to be continuing in our series that we've been in for the last couple of weeks, which is called You Are More Than You've Been Told. Last week, James taught us that following Jesus is not just believing the right things, but apprenticing our whole lives to him. Being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. We saw that identity comes before activity. We are already beloved sons and daughters, not because of what we've done or what we do, but because of what God says. And he says that we are his, and that's it. We looked at Jesus' temptation in the wilderness and saw that his victory over the enemy did not come from a last-minute miracle, but from a life shaped by scripture and intimacy with the Father. When Satan tried to question Jesus' identity, Jesus answered with truth from God's word. Then James presented us with the invitation, and Jesus originally presented us this invitation, to reorder our lives around the way of Jesus through faithful practices of scripture, prayer, rest, and community. Not to earn God's love, but to live from God's love. As we immerse ourselves in God's word, we learn to recognize his voice, reject false narratives, and walk confidently in who he says we are. So this morning, we're going to be taking a closer look at the rhythm and the practice of prayer. But before we get into the message, I think it's a good idea for us to pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this time we have together. Thank you so much for the people that you've brought into this room today. Thank you for the faithfulness that you've brought into this room today. Lord, I thank you for the experience that you've brought into this room today. And I know that we are coming in with a lot of things. Some are really good and some are really heavy. Some of us are so grieved and some of us are joyful. Lord, I thank you for that. I ask that you would be with us in this, that the words that you have for each of us to hear would be heard this morning, Lord, and that you would remind us that this journey we walk with you is not about reaching perfection. It's not about doing things right. It's about engaging in deep, loving relationship with you, and that's it. Lord, we thank you. We praise your name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, I love good communication. Anyone else in the room with me? Yes. I would always rather be overly communicated with than underly communicated with. And because of that, I tend to be an over-communicator. If I'm arranging something and you're a part of it, usually you're going to get no less than four emails, four texts with details from me because I want to make sure that I'm communicating super well. Because as they say, the nebulous they, right? Communication is what? Key, yes. But what is communication the key to? And why is it so important? Does anyone have any ideas? Can throw them out. Why is communication so important? It builds relationship. Clear expectations, yeah. Anyone else? That does pretty much cover it. Yeah, communication is the foundation on which we build healthy lives. Without good communication, we are often misinformed, alone, unaware, and bumbling around, guessing what we're supposed to do. I find it hard to function without communication. And it is crucial for building relationships, sharing ideas, solving problems, coordinating actions. It's how we understand, trust, collaborate with others. It helps us express our needs, our emotions. It helps us share information and foster connection with clarity. And it prevents conflict. We all understand what good communication is, right? Yeah. Okay. So prayer is our direct line of communication to God. God communicates with us through things like scripture and the Holy Spirit, but we communicate with God through what? Prayer. That is why scripture and prayer are so often coupled together. It's how we talk to God. It's like the full cycle of how we talk to God. Prayer is how we build relationship with God, how we share our life with him, how we solve problems with him, how we coordinate our actions with him. And it's how we understand, trust, and collaborate with him. We've been framing some of our teaching around this book by Hosanna Wong called You Are More Than You've Been Told. And she has so much good stuff to say about prayer, and we are going to hear a lot from her today. So the first thing I want to point out that she said is this. It is good for your communication with God to be ongoing, even casual, as you speak to God throughout the day, about things that bring you joy, things that you need, things that you just want to update him on, as well as saying thank you as you notice various blessings. In addition to that, God wants moments with you where you are able to talk about the pressing things on your heart, your worries, your desires, your hopes, and your fears. And scripture is full of calls to prayer that back this idea up. The heroes of faith and the prophets talked and heard from God all the time. They wrote about prayer. David talks about prayer throughout the Psalms and Chronicles, all the parts that he's in, he's talking about it. He cries out to God in all things. The disciples and apostles walked and talked with Jesus. They prayed and heard from the Holy Spirit after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. And Paul teaches that we are to, in Philippians 4:6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And Ephesians 6, he says something similar. Praying all the time in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, praying on behalf of others too. And then Colossians 4:2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Then Jesus himself also invites us in scripture to pray and even gives us a clear roadmap on how to pray, which we're going to get to later. So prayer is kind of a big deal, right? But why should we pray? And that's what I want us to get to today. For me, the reason we should pray is this. Prayer, time with God, communication with God, talking to him, is where we build and maintain the connection and relationship we have with God. It is vital. If we are disconnected from the vine, our fruit is shriveling. We have to be in connection with the Lord. Pretty straightforward. We have successful connections because we talk to one another in the room, right? If I never talk to someone or I rarely talk to them, it's pretty hard to maintain a real healthy relationship, right? I can assure you, if I ever want to get married, I have to talk to a man. I know it's silly, but it's so true. We have to pursue connections, and we must invest in those connections. Furthermore, as we connect with God and grow in our relationship with him, we must understand that God is not just our personal wish granter. We are not talking about the rhythm of prayer for our own personal gain. We are talking about the rhythm of prayer for our own personal growth and development. And growth and gain are not the same. Growth is where we expand, and gain is where we get. But we want to be people who expand. So our mom, my siblings are up here. she once famously said this. She's like, what did I say? She said, I don't care if my kids are happy. I care that they can get through hard things. Now, the truth is that we know our mom wants us to be happy. Of course she does. But more than to just be happy in the world, what she wants is to know that we can overcome difficulties. And what I inferred from her statement is that she wants to know that we are so rooted in Jesus that when we come up against trial, we will not crumble, but we will be able to make it through with the help of the Father, right? Scripture tells me that God is not really interested in us having happy, perfect, pain-free lives. He's interested in us having fulfilled and healthy lives sustained by his power and his presence. He's interested in us experiencing his joy in the midst of the hollow promises of the world. Amen? Jesus says in John 16:33, after spending this chapter informing the disciples that he would die and things were going to get difficult for them, he says this, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God desires for us to pray to him, share with him our lives, share with him our troubles, share with him our hopes, dreams, and cares, as we do with one another, right? This is the process of doing life together, sharing our lives together. Not just so that God can magically fix all of the things, but so that we don't have to go through it alone. Okay, so what else happens when we pray? Prayer strengthens and sustains us for what's ahead. We build our relationship with God, and through that, we are strengthened and sustained for what is to come. Over the last few weeks, as we've talked about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and how the enemy attempted to upset Jesus' identity by casting doubt on whether he really was the Son of God, we can see that the enemy attempted to strike Jesus at a time where he would probably be weak, right? Anyone in the room, after 40 days of not eating, not drinking in the desert, would you be so strong? I wouldn't. I'm like, 24 hours is tough for me. Yeah, it seems like a moment where Jesus would have been at his weakest. But Hosanna in the book remarks this. And we know that in the desert, right before the enemy came to tempt Jesus, and Jesus spoke truth to the enemy's lies, he was alone with God, praying and fasting. We can't miss this. How was Jesus able to know who he was, even though it would make sense in this circumstance for Jesus to be weak and discouraged? I would say the reason that Jesus was able to do that is because time with, abiding with, talking to God in prayer strengthened and sustained him, right? Hosanna goes on to say, it was in solitude, alone time with God, talking to God, depending on him alone for sustenance, that Jesus grew curiously stronger. The rhythm of time alone with God was Jesus' weapon, and it's our weapon too. The enemy of our souls is set on stopping us from being Jesus-y, right? What would he like better than to keep us caught in a web of our own brokenness and pain and turmoil? It is bad news when we are overcoming those things. It is bad news when the Lord is using us, right? So he attacks us. He comes for our identity. He attacks our relationships. He gives us things to be anxious and worry, and he mires us in political rhetoric and fear. This is how the enemy gets us. He's not stupid. And we have to recognize that and choose to arm ourselves with the best weapon we have, close relationship with God. He shows us, Jesus does, how we can fight the enemy. He shows us that the time we spend in the presence of God will sustain and strengthen us. And God will sustain and strengthen us better than anything the world could ever offer. He will prepare us and provide us with all we need to fight against the enemy and claim victory. As we hear Paul say in his letter to the Philippians that we talked about earlier, worry about nothing, but instead, present all your worries and fears in prayer to the Lord. And I read that really weird. Let me do it again. Worry about nothing, but instead, with prayer and supplication, present your concerns to the Lord. Or he later also says, pray without ceasing, right? We are instructed to talk to God at all times and about everything. And in doing so, we invite him into our concerns. And our concerns are his concerns because he loves us. So, okay, when we talk about submitting everything to Jesus in prayer, I want it to be clear that I literally mean everything. It's a little crazy to think of submitting every decision you have to make to the Lord, right? Like, what should I wear today? But I think there's beauty in meeting with Jesus in our everything, even the littlest thing. We spoke about it a couple weeks ago, but with God, nothing is wasted. So when we submit even the littlest thing, he is faithful not to waste it. And no matter how dumb or insignificant or stupid we think that little thing is, when we submit it to the Lord, we give him an opportunity to look at that small, insignificant, dumb thing and not see it as small, insignificant, and dumb, but instead see it as another opportunity that he won't waste. We don't always have the eyes to see what God will use for his glory, right? The choice to be a disciple of Christ is the choice to invite him fully into every aspect of our lives. The good, the bad, the ugly, the small, insignificant, dumb. Real relationship, it's raw and vulnerable, and it means we share all the things. And when we invite Jesus into every aspect, he empowers us and strengthens us for breakthrough against the enemy. And we can't do breakthrough on our own. We actually need the power of God in us to overcome and claim the victory he got for us. Okay, so now let's talk about a few ways we can put prayer into action. First and foremost, we can follow the example of Jesus by getting away with God. Regularly throughout scripture, Jesus gets away with God. In Matthew 14, it says, after he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. In Mark, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. There are so many examples. And these are actually guys that were with Jesus in his day-to-day watching this rhythm of getting away and praying, right? Personal relationships require time together. Beyond that, we live in a world full of distractions and lack of awareness, so we have to be vigilant in this. Hosanna Wong says, some of us don't know who we are, what we want, or what we feel, because we have not spent enough time alone with our thoughts and with God. We can't hear ourselves think. We don't have time to plan, dream, or imagine. And when a moment of silence rears its head, we pick up our phone and scroll through other people's lives, ignoring that moment that we could take to examine our own. Anyone been there? I was there last night, right? But we can choose to change our posture. We can live in awareness of and look for these windows of opportunity to pause and be alone with our thoughts and with God. Y'all, this is something that I am personally and purposely trying to put into practice this year. I love podcasts and TV and books and music. And I did a little inventory of my own time spent this last summer. And I realized that my daily average screen time was like, no joke, 13 hours a day. That's so much of my day spent listening, receiving, processing something that doesn't really matter, right? It's literally insane, but I found that I, all day long, while I was working, while I was doing chores, whatever it was, I was choosing to listen to something. And I had to do a self-evaluation. What am I consuming? And is it forming me in a way that I want to be formed? There's this pastor in Eugene, AJ Swoboda, who says this. The average American spends 45 hours a week watching the news, social media, or doing screen time. The truth of the matter is, it is really a difficult time to be a pastor because I cannot compete with 45 hours with just a 35-minute sermon, right? 35 minutes compared to 45 hours, we can't compete with it, nor should we. I mean, the truth of the matter is we should be formed all week long and not really only on a 35-minute TED Talk to feel, not relying only on a 35-minute TED Talk to feel the presence of God. Part of the reason we don't get much out of church is that we spend so much of our week gorging on intellectual junk food, and we come to church filled up on Cheetos and aren't able to receive some vegetables. We can't spend all week eating Cheetos and be deeply formed in the way of Jesus. Church, the Lord showed me this last year that I am eating Cheetos all day long. And it would kill me if I didn't change my habits. So I changed my habits. I still probably spend too much time consuming media and entertainment, but I implemented intentional time of solitude, getting away with God into my life. Because if I didn't, I knew that I would die of spiritual malnutrition. Anyone feel malnourished? I feel it. So I specifically implemented two practices. The first one is silent drives. And the second is pause app. So when I'm driving, I am not turning on the radio or my podcasts or my books when it's me alone. Instead, I've been asking the Lord to help me do a self-evaluation. And I pray this psalm and see what he says. Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life." In this time, I ask the Lord to reveal areas of me that he'd like to work on, where I need breakthrough, where I have un-Jesus-y thoughts, whatever he wants to address. And posturing ourselves before the Lord in this way, you guys, is the way that we get to freedom. Like, I want to live free, and I want to live for what God has for me and for what God has for you, and that is my ultimate goal. And so as we choose to follow Jesus and we make that our ultimate goal, God's will over my will, implementing practices like this are essential in how we get there, right? Okay, and then the next thing that I implemented is the Pause app, which is a tool, and I have found it helps me in these ways. It helps me place myself at Jesus' feet, and it helps me be intentionally sitting in his presence. Each day on the Pause app, I listen and I pray, "Lord, I give everyone and everything to you." And then they read scripture over you. And it has helped me put into practice what it looks like to just sit in the presence of God, which is not easy for us in this world, right? For me, the best way to experience the Pause app is on a walk. Like, I will go walking. But right now it's too cold. So I've just been listening in the morning when I get ready. I tried to listen while I was driving, and what happened was that I got so immersed in the prayer time that I was sitting at a red light, and I was like, "I give everyone and everything to you, God." And I just was like, "Wow, it's been a while since I opened my eyes." And I opened my eyes, and there was a cop behind me with his lights going, and he's like, "You know you've been sitting here for like 5 minutes, right?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I didn't." "Sorry." He's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, I just praying." So take my warning, and the Pause app might not be the thing to do while you drive. But the bottom line in that is, as you are apprenticing to Jesus, you got to find the thing that works for you. And I tried a lot of other things that didn't work for me, but we get the opportunity to try and say, "Oh, that will work if I go on a walk, would I do that," right? Or, "That will work if I lay on my face and just be," right? We get to try and find the thing that will work. And those practices for me are about 20 minutes of my morning and 20 minutes of my evening. I don't always do them, but I want to eat nutritious spiritual food. And that means that I have to find what works for me and I have to commit to it. Okay, cool. So the next thing that we can do is pray specific prayers. Sometimes we need to be specific about what we pray. When we talk to people, sometimes we just, you know, I'm hanging out with David and we just kind of shoot the breeze, talk about whatever. But there are other times where I have to go into a conversation with someone with intention, right? Like, I know I need to talk to so-and-so about this thing. We can do the same thing when we are with God. We can pray with intention, specifically asking God for what we need, what we want, what we hope, dream, desire, see, fear, right? We can bring those things to him. And we can present specifics to the Lord without demanding what we want him to do, but instead inviting him to be in the space that we are in with us, right? When we have a specific need, it usually is because we need something specifically, right? And we get to bring God into that and ask him for direction in that. And I'll give you this example of a time when I did this for myself. So about 7 years ago, I was working in the worst working environment of my life. And it's nothing, the people were good, but this job was just not for me, and I was not for it, and I was miserable. And they were probably miserable too. So I was a receptionist at a dental office. I learned a lot, but God, I don't know what happened. This was just like we were rejecting each other, right? And after a year of working there, I resigned myself to just desperately, I have to get out of here. I'm going to just chalk this up to a fail and we're going to move on, right? So I began to just like apply for every job that seemed remotely interesting to me. And a fun fact about me is that prior to this moment in my life, I had never been rejected after interviewing for a job. I had gotten every job I ever applied for and interviewed for. During this portion of my life, every job was rejecting me. And there came a point where I was like, I'm a pariah. God, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? I'm miserable and I can't be here anymore and I have to make money and what do I do? And I distinctly remember God saying to me, Lainey, have I ever let you go without? Have I ever not provided a job for you when you needed one? And my answer was, no, Lord, you've always provided for me. And he said, have you asked me for your next job? And I hadn't. I had asked job to help me get the ones that I'd already applied for, right? I was like, hey, God, let me interview so well so that they'll hire me. But I had never asked him to provide me with a job. So when I recognized that, I began to pray this really weird prayer. And it was this. Lord, will you give me a job that pays me more to work less? It's the dream. You guys, I did this. I remember telling Lacey that that was my prayer, and she was like, okay. I began to pray this crazy prayer, and I fully stopped applying for jobs because I knew, because he reminded me of how he had always provided for me, that the Lord would provide me a job. Okay, I did that for 9 months. I prayed that prayer for 9 more months. I worked that job for 9 more months. And it was not good, and it actually got worse. But then I had a friend call me out of the blue. And she said, hey, our office is, has this like internship. I don't really know much about it. It's probably like 20 hours a week and I don't know that they'll pay very much, but I was thinking that you should apply for it. And I was like, done. I, at this point, didn't care. I was like, I'm praying this prayer that you'll help me work more or work less and earn more, but I don't even care, Lord. I will take this part-time internship if that's what it is. So my friend said, all right, well, I'll arrange you an interview. I didn't have to do anything, guys. They called me. They didn't know me, but they called me. And they said, hey, we want to interview you. And I was like, okay. And I went in and I interviewed. And that day they said, we want to hire you. And I was like, really? And they're like, yeah, but we don't know how many hours or what we're going to pay you. And then they were like, will you wait? And I was like, okay, sure. Anything to get me out of where I'm at. And for another 120 days, I waited. So I worked at the dental office for maybe a little over two years. And at the end of that 120 days, I began my job at the insurance agency where I work to this day. And you know what? Not only did God provide me with a job that fell right into my lap, and I didn't have to work to even set up my own interview, but he also provided me a job that would pay me significantly more and allow me to work at most 30 hours a week. So he gave me a job where I was paid more to work less. And guys, I could go on and on about the additional benefits that I get with my current job. The first being that I started at an insurance agency the week after my house burnt down, which was awesome because I didn't know anything about insurance. But now I knew people who knew about insurance, right? But there are so many more benefits that I never, ever could have imagined would be possible. His provision for me was so amazing that I didn't even know what I could ask for, and he gave it to me anyway. The thing is, God wants to give us good things. And he's not out for us to just give total blind allegiance. You know, he's not a dictator that's hungry for power. He actually desires to have mutual giving and receiving relationship with us. But he's not going to force it on us. He wants us to ask him. Through inviting him in, surrendering our hearts, and choosing to trust in him, he will be faithful to work. Now, this story that I have is kind of fantastical, and not everything that I've ever prayed for has come to a nice, clean, pretty resolution like this. Some of what I have asked for is still in process. And some of what I've asked for, I'm still praying and trusting God as we speak in. Some of what I should pray for, I don't even know that I should pray for it, right? That's okay. God knows. He is so kind. He sees us floundering and he is compassionate to us. As he was to me when in my floundering, I was like, God, what do I do? Nobody wants me. What job will ever have me again? And he said, just ask me. If we are floundering on how to begin this process of talking to God, we just gotta ask him. We just gotta say, hey, I don't know what to do, God. Will you help me? And he's so faithful to do it. When in doubt of what specific prayers to pray, ask him. Sit down and take an inventory of your life. What's your stress? What's your concerns? What are your delights, your joys, needs, whatever it might be? And then take those things to him in prayer and ask. Lacey said it earlier, but Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. God doesn't want to give us stones. God doesn't want to make it too hard for us to be able to do it, right? It's easy, but we get to take the first step to ask. And he's ready, and he's waiting. Okay, the last thing I'll say on that is if it feels overwhelming, if you take your inventory of your life and you're like, oh, there's so many things to pray about. James recently said that what he's learned this last year is it's okay to just take one thing to the Lord. Take one thing at a time and say, Lord, I want to work on this one thing. Will you help me with this one thing? And he will. This whole apprenticeship to Jesus thing is not like a do it right now, right? It is a lifelong process of submitting to the Lord, and he is faithful for the lifetime to work. Okay, the last thing we should do as we pray is be thankful and full of praise. Scripture says that we are to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the thing about thankfulness is that it leads us to praise. Think of someone that you're thankful for right now. Get their picture in your head. When another person asks you about them, do you have bad things to say about that person you're thankful for? No. No, I have great things to say about those that I am thankful for. Praise to be shared about who they are. Thankfulness leads us to praise every time. And this is what King David in the Psalms says about praise. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. How good is it to sing praise to our God? How pleasant and fitting to praise him. It is fitting to express our thankfulness and praise to the Lord. He is good to us. And as we do implement this practice, it will strengthen the connection we have to the Lord as well. In our book, Hosanna cites a study that I found really interesting. And she said this, in an in-depth study on physical and mental health, researchers unearthed the power of gratitude. One of the benefits of gratitude is that it connects us so deeply with other people. In other words, gratitude strengthens relationships. So what happens in my mind when I express thankfulness for God? Well, first, I feel when I'm expressing thankfulness that I'm reminded of who God is, that he's holy and righteous and just, that he's truthful, good, gracious, compassionate, that he is kind and patient with me. He forgives me, he protects me, he provides, he's a healer. His character, rich and full of love, is revealed through our thankfulness to him. He is so good. And secondly, when I express thankfulness for the Lord, I'm reminded of how faithful he has been in my life. Even in seasons of pain, he has been faithful and used what the enemy meant for my destruction to build me up instead. I'm reminded that we serve a God who chose me. And in choosing me, he already declared victory over my life. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God. He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus gave his last breath on the cross and said, it is finished, indeed, at that moment, it was finished. His blood wiped away every stain of sin, and we have been given the opportunity to engage new life. Revelation says in Revelation 12:11, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Testimony is the story that he is weaving in our lives. The work he has already done and will do to bring us from death to triumph. So when we enter into thankfulness, we are able to step outside of our current mess, right where we have blinders on, and see with eyes that see victory. Let me put it like this. Have you ever had those days where, like, everything that can go wrong will go wrong? You oversleep your alarm, you wake up, you're in a rush, you dash out the door with your coffee, but then you dump your coffee all over yourself on the way to work, and then to avoid the hotness of the coffee, you're like driving down the road trying to keep your shirt off you, and then you jerk into the other lane, and then there's a car there, and maybe you don't hit them, but the guy is really mad at you, and he's honking at you, and the day just keeps getting worse. That has never happened to me, for sure. And you start to believe that everything that will go wrong in my life does. Let me tell you, anytime that I fall into this mindset, and it's easy to do, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. What will go wrong in my life always does, and boy, does it. But the truth is, sometimes bad things happen to us. And if we can, in moments like this, be thankful for the things in our lives that are good, be thankful and turn to Jesus, what happens will be transformational. Instead of course I overslept, nothing good happens to me, thankfulness says, oh, thank goodness I woke up with enough time to get there. Thank you for waking me up, Lord. And I know this is just a tiny little example, and I'm not trying to promote like toxic positivity, right? I know it isn't that easy when you are in the midst of terrible diagnoses, broken marriages, or more difficult circumstances. I know it's not that easy. My point here isn't to pretend that hard things aren't hard, but instead of dwelling in darkness, we have the truth of God's goodness, and we can choose to be thankful even in the dark. Choosing to engage thankfulness will lead us up from our current reality and give us eyes to see the bigger picture, eyes like God has. The bigger picture is Christ's victory. Victory that has already happened, that is happening right now in your and my life, and victory that we hope for. We serve a God who doesn't just want us to have happy lives, remember? He wants to be our refuge, for us to rely on him so that he can empower us and sustain us and strengthen us to overcome trials and engage in the joy which comes from a life lived with him. That is what he wants for us. Just as Jesus said to the disciples before his death when they knew things were about to get hard, he says this to us, and it is our assurance now. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm feeling that this week, you guys. I'm feeling like we are in a heavy world. I'm feeling like there are videos of people dying on social media that we get to watch. I'm feeling like there are people, no matter what your political alignment is, who are weighed down by the hate. It sucks. But we have this assurance that our peace comes through Jesus Christ, who already assured our victory, who already overcame the world. Thank you, Jesus. As we come to a close this morning, and Maura, you can come up. I want to end with this. Prayer is about us and our hearts. It's about the health of our interiors, right? Eating vegetables, not Cheetos. It's about our genuine intention. And as we grow in relationship with God, he is faithful and good to transform us. Regularly talking to him, submitting everything to him, we need to be prepared for what will happen when we do that. And what will happen is that he will talk back to us. As we explore the power of prayer in our lives, we need to be willing and ready to hold our expectations, biases, and worldly beliefs loosely, presented to the Lord. God doesn't always play in cultural, societal, and political constructs that we expect him to, right? Because he's over it all. He has eyes to see a bigger victory. And when we get caught up in that expectation based on the world that we know, he sees from a much better vantage point. Prayer is asking God to speak to us about what he has for us, not what we want from him. Another thing my mom said recently is this. She said, the longer she parents, the less she knows about how to parent. And it was so beautiful because my mom doesn't pretend to have all the answers. She just asks God. And she relies on him to help her do her best. If we are willing to truly submit ourselves to God in prayer, you guys, we are gonna be challenged in the way that we think about the world and the people around us. The rhythm of prayer will transform us from the inside out. It will stretch us for the better if we let it. That is what we're called to do. And the more we pray, the more naturally it will come to us until we find ourselves going to God first before we even have to think. We will naturally begin to rely on God, seeking his direction because it is good and best and holy. So let's take some time right now to talk to the Lord. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and they'll be posted. But just take a moment and think about what he's speaking to you in this rhythm of prayer. The first question is this: what voices, inputs, or distractions most often fill your quiet time? Would you consider removing one or two of those distractions in exchange for alone time with the Lord? Number two, what specific area of your life could you invite God into the process with you? What would it look like for you to take a self-inventory of those areas this week and pray about one of them? And the third thing is this: what is one specific thing you can thank God for today that reminds you of who he is and the victory he has already secured for you? Take a minute and think about those. You are encouraged today. I believe God is excited to talk to us. Earlier, I mentioned that we would talk about the way Jesus teaches us to pray. And in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, there's this beautiful map called the Lord's Prayer. When in doubt of what to pray, this is a great start. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we leave, I want to pray this together. But before we do, I want to make a couple quick observations. I believe Jesus is showing us what we talked about today. In verse 9, he right-sizes himself before the Father, puts us in the position of being at the foot of the cross. The Father is in heaven, king over all of us. Then he thanks him and praises him for his holiness. When he says, "Holy is your name, hallowed is your name," it's a recognition of the goodness, the bigness, the holiness of God. Then in verse 10 through 13, he asks God for something specific. Your will be done. Give us our daily sustenance and strength. Protect us and forgive us, Lord. And then finally, once again, he recognizes God's power and praises him. So can I invite you guys to stand with me? And we can pray this prayer together. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.